So, Dev, let's give the people what they want, man. Who are you? What do you do?
Sure. You can probably tell from my name. Yes, that is my real name. I am a developer. I've been building full stack JavaScript applications for the last 6 or 7 years in every capacity. That's my cat, Lulu. You might see her around for a bit more anytime.
I love it.
Yeah, I've done like freelance projects, part-time, volunteer, research, full-time. As of like about a year ago, I got into developer relations and dev tools, making content, all that. I have a YouTube channel where I sometimes make videos about software development, software architecture, things like that.
There you go.
Yeah.
I love it. So Dev, how did we meet? Do you remember at all?
Yeah, it was the very first React Miami.
Okay.
In 2022. It was after the first day. It was like kind of a dinner. It was you, Kenzie Dodds, Tejas, Kathleen, a couple other people who I don't remember.
Yes. Yeah. That was a good
dinner. This was advertised in the Discord and I showed up.
Yeah, I love it. So Dev, man, let's dive into your journey a little bit. So graduated, where'd you graduate from?
I graduated from University of Cincinnati, studied here for information technology, 5 years. Okay. I graduated about a year ago in April.
Okay, awesome. So man, again, you've been the constant when it comes to networking and putting yourself out there. Where did this all originate from, right? Because like in college, like, no one teaches this stuff in college. I mean, maybe they did at Cincinnati, but like where did your kind of mindset come from, this networking and yeah, just from the networking side and just putting yourself out there?
Yeah, this show.
Okay. That was not a setup, I mean, for the record. I wanted you to say it was somebody else, not me, so I just sound like an asshole. Well, all right, so talk
sure,
about
yeah.
it. Because I am curious.
Yeah.
Because I am curious.
Yeah, I mean, they did teach a bit in college, like at University of Cincinnati. This was kind of my high pick because there's a co-op program, which means we get to work full-time for one semester and then study for a semester and then work again for full-time. So we alternate between like working and studying. And because of that, there's a decent bit of culture around how to get into the industry, how to network with people. And there's like career fairs and all things like that. There's also student organizations that try to bring people from the industry to talk to them, to connect with them. There's events going on all the time.
That's awesome.
So yeah, there's a decent bit of that culture here at the university. It's just that a lot of people don't end up taking advantage of that. I like to say that it's university or college life is kind of like build your own adventure. You can either like build fraternities and parties into your adventure, or you can build like networking and like actually making use of college resources.
Yeah.
But it really kind of like kicked into high gear when I met you, when I started watching the show, and when I started learning about like from real people in the industry and recruiters and DevRels and people who are doing this stuff like every day and not just like ivory tower college professors.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, man, that really means a lot. Dominic goes, LL Dev just really said you're my networking origin story. Yeah, I know. Which is flattering, of course. So I think I really missed the mark in college when it came to networking. I didn't know how to network. I didn't know really what to do. Do you think you maximized your time in college? And if so, what do you think was maybe your few secrets that you'd be willing to share for folks who maybe see this in the future?
Sure, yeah. I mean, I don't know if every college, every university has the same thing, but really kind of the student organization, like everything around what the university gives you as resources, how they fund you, how they let you do things like host events, that has been like the biggest kind of a gold mine for me.
Okay.
So I got involved in student organizations like really early, around 2019. I joined in 2018, like about a year or so. I started attending the events, and then I started being on like executive boards. I started like planning events, volunteering at them for student orgs. And it took me a bit of time, but I tried to figure out like how does university provide funding to these organizations? Because once you kind of unlock that, then you can start your own thing. You can do your own events.
Oh, wow.
And that's how I ended up at React Miami, because I kind of figured out the funding process, and then I was a part of an organization, or that one that I started, and we were like, hey, we really want to send students to these conferences. We want students to have access to like these like very high profile networking events or educational events. And the university was like, cool, here's a bunch of money, go buy tickets. Now compared to like buying conference tickets, hotels and flights, is not a lot. So like we were only able to buy like maybe 3 or 4 tickets, but it was still like, imagine 3 students who otherwise would not have been able to be at that conference. Like if I wasn't at React Miami, I wouldn't have met you. So
isn't that crazy how that works, man? It's just crazy how that works. So
yeah.
So again, I mean, amazing job for you to track down this stuff. So again, just to reiterate, so you, if it wasn't for me, would you have done this still? Like, would you have sought out the college for funding, or is that something that you just did on your own?
Yeah, the college funding stuff, that was like much before.
Okay, cool.
Like the college funding led to React Miami, which led to like me watching this show. So that was like way before that.
Okay, fantastic.
Like it basically what happened after I started watching this show and I started like actually doing the like practicing these on like social media, making content, is it just kind of like kicked it into high gear. But like it was kind of like what I started at college.
Yeah.
Organizing events and trying to get to these conferences with university funding, which kind of started it all.
So let's talk about kind of, you know, putting, you know, gasoline on the fire when it comes to networking on social media. I mean, can you talk about your journey, what doors opened up for you, some cool stuff that happens? Because again, I think, and really just how you got started, because I think a lot of people are like, oh, this sounds great. Taylor brings on all these guests who talks about posting social media, but like, I don't know how to do it. Or so can you kind of walk me through your journey a little bit on how you started and kind of what started to happen?
Yeah. So initially, obviously everyone talked about that networking is kind of the secret to the industry and all that. But like there weren't never really any like tactical or these are some things you can do. React Miami was pretty much like my first like big conference or web dev related conference that I attended. I did attend Momentum for a couple years before that, but Momentum isn't really like that Twitter hyped. React Miami is like, it's all over Twitter, even the first year it was on. So I started tweeting a bunch about React Miami when I was there. After that, I started following the people who were there. I started following these Twitter accounts, seeing what they were doing, trying to do some of those similar things, like making memes sometimes. And eventually, like once I started to like get a better hang of it, I believe I went to another conference that year. I went to like a couple more conferences. After that, I also got involved with like YouTubers. And like Twitch streamers, I started getting involved in their community, Discord community, and I started doing the same things where like posting memes or like posting whatever I could figure out to like try to grab some attention and try to like make connections in those communities and online in those communities. And I think like similar to what happened with you, where once I started posting, you took notice. Once I started posting in those communities, I don't know if you know Theo at all, T3.gg, he's a Twitch streamer. He also took notice. And around that time, I was starting to think about like making content, making YouTube videos. Another thing that I've been thinking about for a while, but I never really just had the let's sit down, let's record a video, let's put it out there.
Yeah.
And that was another kind of like, it kicked into high gear, because once I started making videos, once I started putting that out, then there was something to show. And so like when Theo came around, when he happened to watch one of those videos and he reshared it on his Twitter, and that got me a bunch more people. And so it was basically like trying to like just post whatever I can on Twitter, like, on YouTube.
It's almost like shoveling coal in the fire. So this is like what I say. So like what I say is like, you kind of have, I'm trying to do this like opposite here. But so your content journey is kind of like this, right? It's like really, really slow. But what I mean by this going up is getting people in your network, right? And so what happens is that what you don't see is you don't see the bumps, right? So like the climb feels very slow and long, But what happens is you have these bumps, right? You know, yeah. You get in my community, there's a bump of people. Then you get Theo to retweet you. Then there's a bump. And what happens is you kind of start pulling all of these people with you.
Yeah.
Which kind of creates, there's different ways you can view this in your head. I call it like the whirlpool effect. Like, you know, I don't know if you were, I think you've seen me say this, like when you were a kid, I mean, I still do it as an adult. You run around the pool, like in the water,
right, yeah.
To like create a whirlpool.
Yeah.
It's the same thing with the content and networking is that if you keep doing it, you're going to start collecting people in your whirlpool and then everything's going to start kind of like moving with you. Would you agree or disagree with that?
Yeah, pretty much. The more content you put out there, the more kind of like possibilities there are to like engage people and get them closer to your network and connect with them better. And along similar lines, that was also the year that I first volunteered at Momentum. I reached out to Michael Richardson and I was like, hey, I'm interested in volunteering, helping out, whatever I can do. I even have like 3 years of organizing hackathon experience that I can bring.
I love it.
I was volunteering. He also let me run the social media for a bit. Along with that, he brought me to the speaker dinner that year that I think we also met there.
Yep.
So a speaker dinner, I got to meet a bunch of great people there. And obviously at the conference itself, like I would agree that volunteering at conferences is almost a cheat code to networking.
It really is. I mean, really.
Yeah.
Talk about that for a second. Talk about why it's such a cheat code.
Sure. I mean, conferences are like you're going to find like the cream of the crop people in terms of like industry, leadership, talent, or their own like connections. Like Michael Richardson is a guy that you meet and then you have access to like this like entire like spider web of industry that he has built over 10 years, right? Yeah. These are the kind of people that you meet at conferences. And volunteering is something like conferences are awesome for everyone involved, but it requires so much work and effort to like make a good conference that every little bit of help is somehow going to contribute there and is going to leave a good impression. Yeah. So even like when people attend, they're going to see someone volunteering, or they're going to see you volunteering, or like whoever's in the chat, or if they're interested, they're like, oh, you're doing great work. Thanks a lot. And then along with that, there's sides to a conference that like as an attendee, you don't get to see. Yeah. Like there's going to be parties, there's going to be speaker dinners, there's going to be like other hangouts.
There's like that happy hours with the speakers.
Exactly, yeah.
Just impromptu.
Yeah, and that's like one of the best things at it, because if a conference is the cream of the crop, the speakers is like the cream of the crop of the cream. Like it's like two layers above that.
Top cream.
Exactly, yeah. I don't know how to put that. So as a volunteer, you get access to like a lot more of the conference than just as a regular attendee. Yeah. So volunteering and also speaking, like if you're a speaker at a conference, a lot of people just go to speak at conference just to hang out with their other speaker friends. So again, as a volunteer, you get access to that, but it's the barrier is much lower. You don't have to be a speaker. You just volunteer.
So yeah, it's just so much to unpack on this conversation. So, all right. So to recap, so college, you got super invested. You asked the, you know, kind of the board or the, you know, the college like to get funds for meetups and hackathons. They gave it to you. They gave you funds from React Miami. You went down there. That's how we met. How did you land that first job out of college? Because I think that's the...
Yeah.
I feel like, I mean, again, just on the outside, I feel like it was not easy, but like, you're kind of like, but it didn't surprise me. Like with how involved you are, it didn't surprise me. So talk about how you landed that first job, where it came from. I think I know the answer to this, but.
Sure. Yeah. So I am like 4 out of 4 for jobs that I've landed through networking, which is another reason why I keep like, when I say networking, like person that I know, like I know someone who knows someone who knows someone, something like that, or sometimes it's more direct. So the job that I landed after college at Clerk, I did have like a couple jobs while I was at college, but the one that I got at as developer relations. So what happened was I was another one of these conferences in November 2022, 22. It was in San Francisco. It was Jamstack Conf. And at that conference, there was a 10-minute demo of Clerk. And I was at that demo. I went into that demo thinking that, yeah, this is something I've seen, like nothing new is going to be here, right? And at the end of the 10 minutes, I was like, holy shit, this is something I needed in all my projects. I need this right now. I needed this 5 years ago. I needed this 2 years ago. Where has this product been my entire life? And I tweeted that out. And by that time, like I had gathered a kind of a decent bit of Twitter following because of those YouTube videos and because of Theo shout out. I also had a few YouTube videos. And also at that conference, I met the guy who was doing DevRel for Clerk. And apparently he had watched a couple of my videos. So he was kind of familiar with me, with like my content, my like content style, speaking style and all that. So we chatted, I chatted with him. And after obviously I tweeted out about Clerk, I chatted with the CEO who was there. We chatted for quite a while about like features that I would like to see, about what I'm building, how I would be using Clerk. And then after that, I started using it. So basically I like at that conference, I made a good relationship with both the CEO and the current DevRel, and that kind of carried on. So in December, awesome. when I resigned the job that I was working on at that time, I tweeted it out. And then the DevRel guy, he showed up in my replies and like, hey, we might be hiring at Clerk. If you're interested, let me know. And so I took that. After a few weeks, I sent him a message that, hey, I'm down for that. And he's like, okay, let's jump on a 15-minute chat.
So your last job was conference connection,
mm-hmm.
content.
Mm-hmm. Social media.
Job, yeah.
Yeah, and also like just... a lot of it was just like genuine interest in what they're building.
Yeah. Yeah. Genuine interest. Mm-hmm. I've talked about that a lot lately, I feel like,
mm-hmm.
especially Dominic, who's in the chat right now, getting a, you know, we were chatting about his passion for the environment and hiking and being outside. Like mm-hmm. if Dominic and I were going up against a job together, like they're going to pick Dominic because like, I don't like outside. Like, I just don't like, I just don't. So like, again, it's one of these things where like companies want passion, and because Dev was passionate about Clerk, he had thoughts about Clerk. He wished he used it again. Like that's the way it's done. That's the way it's done. And I want to go back to content and social media, because I feel like people like, I got to create all this content from the get go. It's, correct me if I'm wrong, it sounds like you just kind of like lurked in the shadows a little bit, like just joined communities, made some comments when necessary. Like, I feel like you just like weren't like, I'm just going to start creating a bunch of content off the get-go, right?
Yeah, I mean, if you just start creating content and never tell anyone about it, like it's if a tree fell in the woods and no one noticed, like did it actually fall? That's kind of the idea. So like you have to kind of put yourself out there, not just in terms of like making content, but also like sharing it with the world that, hey, this is something I built, this is something I made. What do you think about it? Let me know, like feedback, or just like give it a watch and let me know what you think. I posted on Reddit. I posted on like a few, initially, like I was also, okay, let me just like spray and pray everywhere. And if I get some engagement from like some subreddits or some Discord servers, nice. If I get banned from some of them, no worries.
Yeah, absolutely. 100%.
And I probably did get banned from some of them.
That's funny. Let me get to a few comments. I've already thrown them up. I'll throw them again. Dominic goes, I can't confirm what Dev is saying. Comments are a huge level up for networking. Yeah, I mean, literally, it's kind of a shot to the arm is like what I say. I mean, I think, in my opinion, every developer should at least go to one conference a year. It exhausts me, but man, I come back feeling energized. And so, I mean, I think one to two conferences a year, I think, is a good clip. I think for the average, I think at least one. Ask your company if they have funds. Conferences like that conference and Render, they actually have like word tracks on their website that you can download to ask your boss and like actual specific reason on why you should go. So take a look at that. Most companies should or be open to at least helping you cover a little bit, because that comes out of like the education budget.
Another thing I wanted about that specific comment is that that specific comment, that was exactly what happened like last year, but instead of Bill Gates, it was Corey Howes. So like I was at KCDC, I was just at lunch and like I happened to sit next to Corey Howes and I talked to him. I had known him for like on Twitter for a little bit, and Like, I just got to connect with him that yep. I would have never been able to.
Yep, absolutely. It's 100%.
Amazing person.
Brandon comes in here. Never thought about networking. I mean, volunteering. Yeah. I mean, Brandon, again, I'll hit you up and I'm in Austin here in a few weeks for South By. But yeah, I mean, again, like I think people really bond and connect through shared experiences, right? So like, you know, like if you went to South Carolina, right? Or you went to Cincinnati, right? We're probably going to talk to you because that's a shared experience, right? Mm-hmm. Setting up at conferences and like, you know, it'll suck. You got to get there early, set up chairs and stuff. But like the act of doing that with other people endears you to each other immediately. That's just kind of how the human psyche works. And so locking arms and being at these conferences and helping volunteer and set up is just a great way to make yourself what we call sticky when it comes to relationships.
And beyond just that, it's also that you get to contribute to something bigger. And oftentimes, like, you get to add your own flair to it.
Yeah.
Like, one of the conferences I was volunteering at, like, we were setting up the lounge, like the couches and everything. And like, we had this entire discussion of what would be the ideal placement. Should we set it up like this? Should we add some safe space here? What would be like the ideal setup so people can come in and network? So you also get to like contribute your own and show your own, like how you think about things.
Absolutely. So I do want to get, as we wrap up here again, time flies when we're having fun with friends. I do want to get to the public speaking aspect. So you just kind of delved into conference speaking. Talk to me about, you know, has there been any specifics about what it's done for your career? Is it still early? Why did you want to speak? Talk about that for a second for people who may be terrified to speak.
Yeah, for sure. The conference speaking is another one like that goes in the category of, I have been overthinking it for a while, and it just like took like for me to just like sit down, fill out some CFPs or like figure out something. And it was like just one conversation with one person that like kind of changed my course on that. Yeah, I was having a conversation with Matt Eland, who like, I think he was an instructor at Tech Elevator or something. And he was like, hey, look, when you submit a CFP, you don't have to have the entire thing prepared at that time.
Right.
You can take of it as like a learning opportunity that this is something I'm interested in learning more about. Let me submit a CFP in case I get accepted. I'm going to like prepare that while the, like before the actual conference. So that was a lot of like, he gave me a lot of encouragement with this and a couple other things that he said. So that's kind of what it took me. And what it has unlocked, again, like I said, like volunteering at conferences is a cheat code because it gets you in those places that like a speaker would usually, that a normal attendee wouldn't. But obviously when you are a speaker, you get to go there, like you get to be at those places and get to connect with people as a legitimate speaker. So you go to these places. Obviously a lot of times you get free tickets or you get free travel, free like living, like whenever these conferences are. So that's a big plus. But then also, like, we get to go to speaker events. You get to talk to people about what they're talking about or what their talks are. You get to give each other feedback. You get to say, hey, I'm talking about this. You want to come to my talk and give me feedback? You also see, like, a lot of the same people at a lot of the conferences, which means, like, you're connecting with the same people over and over again. Yep. And those are, like, some of the best people in the industry.
Absolutely.
And obviously, like, you get to take a photo and post it on Twitter, post it on your LinkedIn profile, saying that, hey, I spoke at this conference. Yeah, and that also, like, in a way, that will, like, also, like, kind of solidify your brand as kind of a, like, you know how people say that you should write a book? That will really solidify your kind of, like, what is it, authority? Authority, like a specific topic. So giving talks is, I see it kind of like that. Like if you've given a talk on a topic at a conference, you're probably a decent authority on that topic.
Yeah, absolutely. Steven comes in here. What are some things that Dev does to help other people connect or level up? What do you do, Dev?
That's a great question. So far, really, I think for other people, you have to give them like a space and some resources. So when I was at university, I tried to do that with student orgs. So obviously I wasn't the only one getting the ticket from the university funding. I was getting that with other people as well. And last year at 2023, when we went to React Miami, I had like two or three more people with us. more students, and one of them ended up getting an internship at a company that she met, or like the people that she met at React Miami. So that was great to see, because I worked on for these students to get to React Miami, and the outcome of that is that this person gets an internship at this amazing company. So that's one way that I tried to do things. Obviously, after I graduated, I couldn't do as much because the university resources were kind of like really helping me out there. But now I could maybe just start Twitter Spaces or start a Discord community. I haven't done that yet, but I know once I get a little more maybe YouTube following, once I get maybe more content out, I can start my own Discord server and I can do things there. If not, I can use other Discord servers.
Yeah. Everyone's got Discord. Hell, and a lot of these Discord, even myself, is looking for people to almost take over and be the face of it. I'm looking for somebody to kind of help organize and kind of be the face of my Discord as well. So if anybody's interested, let me know. But I love that. I love that. Everybody's fascinated with what's being microwaved behind you. Your boy is hungry. My hot pockets are done. Drew, it's good to see you. Muhammad, it's good to see you. All right. So as we wrap up here, Dev, again, thank you for coming on, my friend. Obviously, folks, follow Dev. His Twitter handle is obviously in his picture. Dev, four questions for you real quick. It's like backwards. First question. What do you like to do outside of coding?
Sure. I like to play strategy games. I specifically play a lot of Age of Empires.
Okay.
I like to play drums, guitars. In fact, I was at CodeMash last month, and I didn't know that they had a jam session. So they literally brought in an entire three guitars, a drum kit, a keyboard, everything. It was set up on stage, and we were jamming out for 3 hours or something. So I do quite a bit of that. I obviously I have six pairs of Crocs, that one for every occasion, working out, walking out in the snow, everything.
I love it. I love it. You have six pairs of Crocs for all different special occasions. I love that. What if
that was for Jason in the chat?
Say what?
That was for Jason in the chat.
I love it. I love it. If you could do anything outside of tech and money is not the issue, what would it be?
Oh, I'll start my own rock band or metal band.
I love it. Easy. I love it. That's awesome. Third question. Any tools, technologies, frameworks you're researching or tinkering with right now that you're pretty stoked about?
Yeah, I recently got more familiar with this concept called local first, which is kind of an idea that most of the data that kind of is controlled by the user, it should just live on the device, which makes it for pretty fast apps because all the data is there. And there are some tools around this like Replicache and Reflect. There's Reflect and Replicache. That's kind of primarily what I'm playing around with. But just is this entire concept of the data just lives there and the cloud is just for syncing and backups if you need it. It not only makes it a much better user experience because it's very fast. It's not dependent on a network, but it turns out it's also much easier to build these kind of apps once you have the kind of the correct infrastructure in place. So that's something that I've gotten, I'm trying to delve deeper into and trying to implement on a couple side projects.
I love that. I love that. Last question. You're still young in your career. So this question is usually if there's one piece of advice you could tell younger Dev, you're still young. I guess just one piece of career advice to folks that are getting into tech or early in their tech career. What would your advice be so far for them?
Yeah. Really just build stuff and build stuff in public. I feel a lot of people are really scared of putting themselves out there. I had an old friend hit me up and say hey, I participated in this hackathon. I built a project, but I didn't even submit it because it didn't meet all the criteria. I wouldn't even be on the leaderboard. So I didn't even submit it. So I feel a lot of people are just for some reason, not for some reason, obviously there's legitimate reason, but a little too scared to put themselves out there. I would say just, If possible, try to do a complete 180 on that because most people really don't care. If anything, only positive things can come out of putting yourself out there. Obviously, yeah. There's some negatives associated with it, but a lot of it's just psychological. It's not.
Yeah, really. I mean, I want to give a shout out to Amy. She started vlogging on Twitter recently, and she, you know, she told me that she was like, you know, I've really been second guessing myself and not wanting to do it. And her vlogs are already better than mine. And she just started. So like, again, like just start, it'll be good. I promise. And even if it sucks, nobody cares. Mm-hmm. Like just nobody cares. Yeah. Like content creation is, I've been trying to figure out a saying for this, but like content creation for me is like, it's not a zero sum game. That doesn't make sense. Mm-hmm. But like,
yeah,
like it's a win-win for everybody. Like the only time people start bashing you is when you start getting like, when you start getting somewhere. Mm-hmm. To start, no one's gonna bash you.
Yeah,
I started this show in 2020, and I was like 6 months of like no one paying attention to me. And now look at us. Like we got a whole thriving community here. We got Dev on the show almost 4 years later, right? So again, like just start. You're still early. You know. Everybody probably looks at Dev, probably you. They look at me like, oh my gosh, they do so much. I started doing very little. Mm. It just grew over time. So just
I still have to tell myself that sometimes. Like earlier, we were facing some camera issues. And oftentimes, like I record videos like, this is not really right. There's like focus issues or the video is lagging a bit. The music is a little bit off. I'm like I try to get into that loop sometimes. And then I have to break out of it. Hey, who cares? Just put it out there. Like once you have a better setup, just redo it and post another one.
Yeah, absolutely. Cool. All right, y'all. Well, again, thank you so much for tuning in today. We appreciate it. Dev, stay on backstage so I can say bye to you. But y'all have a good one. Who do I have tomorrow? Oh, tomorrow I'm taking off. It's a tradition. I take off for Valentine's Day to be with my wife and daughter. So I'm taking off tomorrow to be with the fam. And then Thursday, we're back out with Unicorn Finders talking with a VC portfolio company. Specifically around the low code. So it's going to be kind of a good conversation, just general about low code, no code. Where's that heading? If that's still around, what are they doing? And then Friday, we have my guy, Lawrence Lockhart, back on the show for round two. Nice. He's a great creator and a dev advocate at Vaadin. So that'd be a great conversation. Love Lawrence. Dev, thank you, my friend. It was wonderful to chat with you. Again, I'm always rooting. I'm rooting you on from afar. So appreciate it. And then I hope your roommate enjoys the Hot Pocket. So y'all have a good one. We'll see y'all Thursday. Peace. Hey, you did it. You listened to an entire episode, and I am very grateful because you know why? There's a lot of podcasts out there. There's a lot of episodes, and I myself rarely finish an entire episode. So I appreciate you so, so much for listening. Quick reminder, please rate and review this podcast in the App Store. I want this to be discoverable to others, and the only way that happens is if you take the time right now and rate and review it. Please, like right now. Unless you're driving, then don't do it. So thank you again. If you need to reach out to me at TDestin on all social media handles, and I hope you have a fantastic day.